You guys, it's Kristen. Do you know how I'm always getting crushes on people, like falling in love all of the time? I have a mad, crazy crush on someone. I'm serious. Okay, this is just between me and you, all right? Oh, and Natalie, she's here too. Katie Delbout. Do you guys know who this is? She is rocking my world with her beautiful witchy magic and how she kind of looks like Sarah Jessica Parker and her love of Sex and the City and her love of spirituality, and she's a podcasting genius and a social media genius who started her own podcast at 22 years old before anybody was doing it. And now, just a few years later, she has a ridiculous audience and has interviewed so many rad people. And many that I love her. So when I laid eyes on her, I was like, oh, heaven has sent me a gift and it's Katie. Oh, you guys, I could not wait for Natalie to meet her because I knew she would instantly be in love.
Yes, and I heard a lot about this romance. I felt like I was getting ready for like the best threesome ever. That's how it felt.
And you know what you're listening to? This is the beginning of Natalie. Welcome to the threesome of your dreams. It's Natalie, Kristen, and Katie.
Welcome to the Create Podcast. For those of you that are listening for the first time, we are Natalie and Kristen. And as we said, we have the luminous Katie with us today. Gosh. What's more fun than that?
I just got very cozy. I simultaneously felt like I was going to cry because of I was so happy and filled with so much joy. And had smiled for the entirety of that, to the point where my mouth hurts.
We like to give our audience a sense of what you're missing, that you get to hear, but you don't get to see. So Katie is rocking a little brown hat with black trim. She has her, like, gorgeous, flowy, like, perfect, I just came out of bed like this hair. You know, the ones that, like, we all put wave spray in and curl for hours to make it look like that.
It's very Coachella chic.
Yes.
Right? It's like rock bohemian, 70s love.
And she has a cute, like, flowy.
My boobs are a little bit showing, but you guys told me that was okay.
We said that our podcast listeners prefer it that way.
It's very hot out. We should maybe say.
Yes.
Yeah, it is like 90 plus degrees.
Yeah.
And we like to be naked.
And we're all together, so even hotter. So just so you all know, we're all in our cute summer clothes. It's very hot. We're very excited. I'm meeting Katie for the first time, as you all are. So this is just an amazing day.
I fell equally in love with Kristen when I met her. She did my podcast and then invited me on a date.
Yes.
And then I really fell in love. I fell in love the second when I had you on the podcast with Maddie. As we were walking out, you were like so kind to me, and we took a picture, and you were like, oh, yeah. I was like, oh, I would love to. I was like really nervous and timid. I was like, oh, I'd love to like get coffee sometime. And you're like, no, we're going to get dinner. It's going to be great. I'll see you later. She was like so just like everything I wanted to be when I grew up, of like so confident, so beautiful, and just like, yeah, of course, we're going to get dinner. It's going to be great. I'll see you later. It was as if we had been friends for like 10 years. And I walked out and I was like, that could not have gone better. Like, I really, because you know how sometimes this happens all the time for me in New York, and it's very disappointing, where you'll meet someone and they're like, oh yeah, let's definitely hang out, let's get together, but you kind of never will, or you can just feel that it won't happen, and you know, you kind of take it or leave it. And I didn't feel that with you at all. Like, it was just this like sure feeling of like, I didn't feel like I needed to text you or follow up. I just was like, we'll hang out, and we hang out. And then a couple weeks later, you texted me magically to go to a concert with you, and we did, and then you raved about Natalie, and I've been excited to meet you ever since, and here we are.
And here we are.
Oh, and it's good. Can you feel how good it is?
So good.
And I have to tell our listeners that we are all going on a, like an Eat, Pray, Love summer adventure, and we started talking about it, and I was like, wait, we have to be recording this conversation.
Yeah.
Because when do you find it when three ladies are all about to go on an adventure of their dreams?
Yeah, I don't know. Never.
It's rare. And that's why we had to fit this podcast in before we all left. Because we're all about to go on our own soul baticals. We're all about to go on our own little journey.
Soul batical.
Yeah.
I like that.
And I think it's really important for women today. We talk a lot about desire on the podcast and activating your desire. Yeah. And that desire is life showing you what the next right step is. And so it's really an amazing thing when a woman can claim her desire and say, I want to go to this country. I want to experience this cuisine. I want to go to this place. Mm-hmm. I want to try on this outfit. I want to wear this fabric. I want to talk to this person. And completely unabashed, just say, if I could write the roadmap of my life, what does it look like? Where do I go? Who do I go with? So it's really interesting for all three of us to be in a space together when we've all carved out this exact moment in our life in the next upcoming months.
Yeah. And it's very out of the norm for me, not just for me, but like in every sense of the word. I'm from a small town in the Midwest. My mom hasn't really been out of the country other than Canada. I didn't grow up traveling. I studied abroad in college, but that was it. And then I had this like life-changing, unexpected thing happen at the beginning of this year where my best friend happened to be going to Paris and invited me to go with her. It's very similar to you guys. And she just happened to be there and was like, I'm not going to be able to hang out with you at all. She works in fashion. So she had like 2 weeks of fashion week. And she was like, you can come and stay in my hotel room, but like, you're going to be by yourself. And I was like in this really sad post breakup haze. And I was like, okay, well, I guess I'm going to Paris. And then I ended up meeting someone there, a friend who listens to my podcast, who invited me to come back in August. And I was like, I don't know if I'll do that or not. But then here I am. And like everything in my life today is different than it was a year ago. Like every single thing. I'm moving, I'm traveling, like so much change and newness. And that following that desire is scary because, like I said, it's not what was modeled for me. And I need to create different models, and that's you guys for me. And that's what I was telling Kristen when I was like, please be my big sister. Like, we had had a like glass of wine and I was just like, oh my God, I love you so much, and just gushing. And it's true. I'm an only child. So I think I look up to women who I admire who are different than what I grew up with. And I just really am, I don't know. I'm just drawn to you guys and grateful that I'm here. I wore this dress to a wedding and now I'm here with you guys dressed up. Like, yes. Also I was like feeling like, oh my God, my hair's so frizzy and humid today. And you guys gave me compliments. I'm drinking LaCroix. Like things are lovely. Things and I was having good. A weird morning. Let me tell you.
You know, I always had this feeling like sometimes we can like look to the men in our lives for romance, but if you really want to find romance, it's to be found with your girlfriends. Like, no one can romance you like your girlfriends can.
No one. And I'm so excited to even hear you say out loud, like, you know, I want to have women role models. I want to have women that I'm in that kind of community with, because we've really been indoctrinated that women have to compete and there's not enough room for all the women. So there's like this gorgeous thing that can happen when we stand and honor each other's beauty, and we don't see it as somehow making us less than. It's like when you can see a beautiful woman and tell her, and you can celebrate women and not think that that's any kind of taking away a space for you. It's like, oh yeah, we all rise together. This is what it's all about.
Yeah. Do you guys know about Shine Theory? So there's this great podcast that you guys would love, actually. It's hosted by two, they call themselves long distance besties. One's in LA, one's in New York. They've been doing it since like soon after I started mine, like 2014. It's called Call Your Girlfriend. And Ami Natuso and Anne Friedman, they're writing a book about female friendship right now, but they have this theory called Shine Theory, and they use the example of Kelly Rowland and Beyonce, and how when one person shines, when one person is successful, essentially, that's not a bad thing for their friend. That's a great thing. Like, the more successful Kristen is, that's a good thing for you, because
I go to all the red carpets for everything Kristen
does. Exactly. Exactly. So it's like, it's looking at that that theory, and there's a great article on The Cut that I'll send to you guys that explains this in a much more articulate way than I'm doing right now. But essentially it's that. It's like the more, you know, a rising tide lifts all boats. It's like essentially that sentiment. But I feel like I'm the least competitive person in the world, just because I'm so unathletic. But that's been one thing of like, I've never really had very many, I don't really have any dude friends, actually. And women have been so important to me and my life. There's like very few men that have even done my podcast who have had really an impact on me, other than like two long-term boyfriends. Other than that, like, women are just, and I love what you said about it being romantic, because I think that was one thing I was like mourning the loss of this relationship, like the things we would do together. And then I just started doing them with friends, with girlfriends. And it's like, oh, this is like just as fun, if not more fun.
That's exactly right. It's so fun to like have a candlelit dinner with your girlfriend. It's
we
so,
did that.
Yeah, exactly.
And I hope we all do that multiple times.
Oh, we'll do it forever.
Great.
Yeah. My birthday a year ago, you gave me the most romantic birthday morning. She took me to Central Park. We had like coffees and pastries. And then she's like, I'm taking you for a boat ride in Central Park. And so she was like rowing.
And playing Italian music or something.
Yeah, Italian music, rowing. And then I got on like Facebook Live and was like, I have to share this. Like, my heart's so happy. I'm about to burst. I have to share this. But afterwards, there were so many people that were like, did you and Natalie come out? Yes, finally.
We often will say that we're wives. Like, I call this my wife. She calls me her wife. And many, many people, when they meet us, are like, wait, you're not really married? And so we forget that people really do think we're a couple.
That's
we
so
We love
funny.
Each other dearly, but that's not the form we take.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
I know.
I have kind of a silly thing. Like, my best friend's name is also Katie. And so when I talk about her, the one I went to Paris with, people think I'm talking about myself in the third person, which is also embarrassing. Like, you guys is not embarrassing. That's lovely. But, like, talking about yourself in the third person is sort of embarrassing when I'm not trying to.
Let's all do it for the rest of this podcast.
I know. Yeah, oh, my God. I can't.
So, you're going to Paris.
Mm-hmm.
You have a one-way ticket.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know where you're staying?
Yes. So, this is the funniest thing. So, the most beautiful thing about my podcast is, really, when I started it, it was a ploy to get to meet and talk to people I admired uninterrupted and get an hour of their time. Because, really, back then, no one was listening, and it was very selfish. It was just no way for me to do that. And then now what it's become is... it's still that, but it's also meeting the people who listen to the podcast because they're really cool. And actually, that was why I was a few minutes late, because I ran into this girl on the street who was like, hey, Katie, and she just listened to the podcast. And like, that was so lovely and amazing. And I made a friend. I hope I see her again. Her name is Alexandra. Shout out if you're listening. But anyway, basically the same thing happened in Paris. So I knew I was going, like I was saying, with Katie, and I knew that she wasn't going to be able to hang out with me at all. So I put up a photo on Instagram, not saying to hang out with people, but just being like, send me your recommendations. I've never been here before. I haven't even left the country for like 5 years. So I got all these recommendations, and several people were like, I live here, let's hang out, or, you know, I'd love to get coffee. And I was just like so overwhelmed by that, because I feel like I do that too much in New York, and I was almost leaving to get away from that. So sure. I could like just, you know, I love meeting new people, but I think we talked about this. I had made a rule for myself that's probably temporary, but I need it for a little bit, of just no new friends, at least for a bit, because I was feeling like I couldn't go deep with anyone because I was having a lot of acquaintances, but like not that many friends. And I wanted to like have time for my like actual friends instead of new friends, just at least for a while. And so I was really apprehensive to say yes to getting any of these coffees, but this one person, her name is Camille, and she is from Paris, grew up in the city, her parents live there, and she has a startup, it's called Funky Veggie. And she was like, for some reason I said yes to getting coffee with her, and it was the first day I got there, and I was jet lagged and sleepy and like looked terrible, and I was like, I don't even want to go, it was raining, I was like, I think I'm gonna cancel. But for some reason, I don't even really remember, but I got there and I was late and I messed up the train, and she was so lovely, and I never left her the whole time I was there. I ended up hanging out with her and her boyfriend, and we drank wine, and she walked me around. We liked doing you guys are probably like this. You like doing the same sorts of things. Yes. I think that's crucial for a friendship. And so we just had such a lovely time. And then she had to go on the news that night, like basically like the CNN of France, the night I was leaving. And she was like, do you want to come with me to the news station? And I was like, sure. And she could only bring in one person. So her boyfriend came with us, but her boyfriend, she was like, Katie's going to go. And her boyfriend went home. And so I went, which was actually great because I'm the best hype girl. Like, if I'm anything, I'm a good hype girl. And so I was like, breathe and we'll do this. And and she was a little nervous. And I had no idea what anyone was saying because I don't speak French. But anyway, so to answer your question, that was like the most long-winded way to share this. But I'm staying with her in Paris. And then I'm going upstate Paris, as that's what we say in New York, of leaving town, but it's like Normandy. Uh-huh. So I'm going for a week there, and then I'm going to stay with a friend from the Midwest who moved to Berlin, and I've never been to Germany. So I'm staying there. And then after that, I don't know. I'll probably come back to New York. But I don't have anything in America until I'm speaking at a podcast festival in the middle of September. So we'll see.
We'll see what happens. So good to, like, not know and then let life take you.
You're good at that.
That's my favorite thing.
Are you good at that, too?
Well, Kristen has taught me to be good at it. When she first met me, I was very A-type, and I liked to plan, and I liked things to be organized.
Yeah.
But we started this thing. I don't even know organically how it came out, but we started saying this thing of we just follow the charm. Mm-hmm. So we would practice when we would travel, just like, this is a cute street. Look at these cute earrings. Oh, now that's leading us to meet this person. And then this person takes us to this place we would have never gone. So we would go to travel to these cities, and we would never plan like what day we were going to see this monument. Or like, we would be like, we might go to London or Paris or Berlin or wherever and never see any of the things that you're supposed to see, because we'll just show up and see who we meet and where life takes us. And that kind of became the way that we traveled. But then it really started informing how we do everything.
Yeah.
It changed how we did the podcast. It changed how we taught together. It changed even our communication with each other. It started organically working its way into every area of our life. But that's certainly where it started.
Follow the charm is something that my meditation teacher taught me. Do you guys do TM?
Yeah.
I think it might be a TM thing. I love that word. And that's my favorite way to do New York, or like living here. On day when we hung out, we had both had really good, charming days.
That's right.
And we sat down and we were just like, I think I got there and I was like, Kristen had the best day, can I tell you? And you were like, weirdly, I had the best day too. And we both just like told each other about our days. And that's and not every day is like this in New York. Someone who I know is a mutual friend of ours who also did your podcast, Josh Radner, says that it's a town of extremes where like your best days are like euphorically awesome and your worst days are like horrifically bad. Like, you're kind of always in a movie, and I've found it to be, I kind of am a person who lives like that. I'm trying to like learn to control the dial and be more in the middle. But anyway, on a good, charming day, it's like you meet that person on the street, and then you find a snack when you need one, and then your outfit works, and then you find that like that's the best. And if you can take that traveling vibe into your life, into your following the pings, is something that a mentor of mine also says, like, that's when you know things, you're like hooked in, you know, you're like tapped in. And when you're out of that, when things aren't working, that's when you need to like refocus, do something, change something, take a nap. Like Abraham Hicks says, like, you have to get back into the vortex, and you can't. I'll try so hard to like force back in. And I feel like I would love your guys' thoughts on this, but I feel like you have to kind of fall back in. Like, what do you do when you're out of the charm?
Someone was actually asking me about this today. They said, you know, I find that it feels so good when I'm in, and then it feels so bad when I'm out.
Yeah.
But then also I'm noticing that I'm out and then making it like a deal that I'm out, right? And I said, well, part of life, because life is always giving us conditions and obstacles and contrast, as Abraham Hicks calls it, part of the job of life is to go in and out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're not expected to be in it all the time. Like, happiness is not something that you find and then you stay in.
Totally.
It's something that you tap and then you get out of and you go in and out. So I was telling this person, rather than trying to be constantly in the state of the thing, just try to clean the mess up faster when you get out.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So the job is to go in and out. It's like the job is to be on the horse and then get bucked off. But your only real job outside of the universe, which is always presenting you another horse to get on, is just to get back on, right? So it's like there's always a horse that's there, and if I create a story of that I'm mad at myself for getting out, or I feel
that
so bad being out, it'll just keep me out. If my only job is just to like, oh, there's a horse right there. Oh, there's another horse. Oh, there's one there. Oh, there's one there. And I don't have to always get on the same horse, because sometimes the horse of, let's say, the thing that I really, really want will actually keep me in more suffering. It'll keep me bucking off. Like, that horse isn't ready right now. He's being a little bit angry, right? But there's other horses I could go get on that are totally joyful, right? So, for example, like, I know a lot of like artists or actors say, you know, I'm having a hard time in my career. I'm like, great, go on a trip, right? Don't just try harder to get a job. Because that's not where, that's where it feels sticky.
Yeah.
Do something that actually just makes you feel joyful. Like, do something that feels really fun. Just get yourself back on any horse you can possibly find. Yeah. And then you'll be back in the flow. Pivot.
Yeah, it's, I always like to think, what might feel good right now? When I'm in those places that feel a little hard or a little sticky or a little is what might feel fun or what would feel like love to Kristen right now? So I had this really interesting thing the other day where I was between two people who were getting a little antagonistic with each other and getting a little angry with each other. And I just sat there and I was like, I have no desire to control either of their emotional states right now. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go do something that feels good to me. So I went and made myself a cup of tea, and then I put some hair products in my hair, and then I flirted with someone, and then I came back, and they were hugging each other.
Oh my God.
And it was really interesting for me, because I found that I would have gotten myself out of alignment by trying to either fix them or control the situation or make them get along, right? There was conflict coming up, and I could see the part in me that wants to be the caretaker, like, who, like, my instinct is, like, let me negotiate. Let me be Switzerland. Let me find common ground. But that somehow gets me out of my own pleasure. So that gets me out of my own state of alignment. So I was like, I'm going to trust everybody can get what they need here. I'm going to go make myself a cup of tea. And somehow by allowing what wanted to occur, they found their own way. And I was like, well, that was magic. I wish someone told me that years ago, right? That I don't need to be the fixer of everything, but I can take care of my own alignment, my own present moment. What would feel good to me right now?
And actually, trust. It's super powerful to not need life to be a certain way in order for you to be on.
Right.
It's like, if life has to be perfect, or if everyone has to get along, or if my partner has to treat me, then then I'm in a conditional relationship with life where at best I'm just always trying to control everything. And it makes the joy that I can feel actually a lot smaller than if all of a sudden it's like, oh, the bombs could be going off everywhere and my joy's inside me.
Yeah.
Like, then that's a relationship with life that feels totally different. And then so when you find yourself off, it's much easier to shift and to pivot, like you said.
Well, I think this whole scenario requires a lot of presence, what both of you are saying. And I so often forget that. I so often forget everything we're talking about. But I'll be in those moments and my knee-jerk reaction, like you're saying, is to control or fix or try to change something, where if I'm distracted or I'm not, I took this writing class this winter and it was so wonderful for me, and I went all in on it to the point where I got really behind in my other work, especially email. And I have this whole thing about, like, I learned through that experience that I have something called email hygiene, where it's like, it's not good to get that far behind. Like, I try to have better email hygiene, like, consistently. But during this phase, I got, like, extremely behind. Everyone's always behind an email. That's not, like, a bizarre thing. But, like, this was, like, very extreme. And it coincided also with that Paris trip. It was just, like, a whirlwind of behindness. But what I noticed from that email-wise is that the more out of touch I was, the more things just like you said with your friends, just worked out on their own. Like, I had a lot of just following up on this, and then it was also like, oh, never mind, we figured it out. Because it's my writing teacher says this too. She's like, people often just ask you questions that they could figure out on their own, or they will figure out on their own if you just, like, if we do less, like, and it's, I used to hear that because of how I grew up. I'm like from the Midwest. It's like, you work, you figure it out. You, like, you don't take a step back and let it happen. Like, that's what I learned in yoga. And that was like, okay, I get that, but not for me.
Yes.
You know, where now I'm like, oh, that's like the kind of the only way to be, because if you just keep trying to fix, it's like kind of like a hamster wheel.
Yeah. I love the, let me take a step back and let it fix itself approach. Yeah. And also listening as well at the same time of, for the, like, that inspired action is, let me go all the way back and, like, see what wants to happen. And then also plug in, because there will be time for action. Mm-hmm. Let me not go so far back that I just avoid and let it go, but be plugged in enough in that, like, space where I know when to act and I know when to let go.
It's also that time is our greatest teacher, right? It's like as we get older, we know more. And as we give situations space, more information gets revealed. So I've so been the guilty person who someone sends that triggering email and right away my fingers are typing. And if I just don't send it, then 24 hours later, I will send a totally different
email. I should have done that yesterday.
You know what I mean? Like the email I would send... Yeah. After there's been time to process and it's not the knee-jerk reaction, will be a totally different email. And often, it's like you guys were saying, that person will email me back before I even get to the email and say, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Or say, here's where I've already rethought this. Does that make sense? So it's so often that it's not about non-doing, but it's about doing within space and doing within time, so that it's saying I'm willing to let something breathe, because anything else is reaction. That a breath is an inhale and an exhale. So if I receive the inhale and then I take action, it's not complete. So I have to receive the inhale and the exhale before I know what the next breath is meant to look like.
And that's, I think, where I don't want to say struggle, but where I'm learning is to not be reactive, because in that space, in that exhale, waiting can be uncomfortable.
Very uncomfortable.
You know, it can be, it makes you feel stuff. And if you're controlling, if you're doing something, that's not really comfortable either, but at least you feel like it's like forward movement and my brain kind of attaches to that, so I don't have to, it's a distraction from feeling the discomfort. Where if I just pause, it always goes better. It always, every single time it's gone better. But still yet, I start to feel like I should respond and should react, because it's a knee-jerk thing. It's like my lizard brain. But if I just, I'm trying to learn to be better to sit in the discomfort and just be there.
And in that pause is where we can hear like that acronym for God, good, orderly, direction. Like to be able to sit there and then to hear it. And that space allows time for that hearing.
Yeah.
Because often I think we have to dismantle what is my ego here, and what is the true truth that wants to emerge. And sometimes it takes a little space to be able to like pull those apart.
Yeah. So Katie, I have two questions for you, and they relate to one another. But so question number one is, what kind of started you on this path and this journey of this person that we see now that's working through these questions and living your life in the way that you're living it? What would you say was like the catalyst for you that began you on this process? And then now being on the process where you are now, what's your leading edge of growth that is propelling you into the next point?
Well, I'll tell you the backstory in a minute, but what's most charming to me is to tell you the second answer first, which I think that goes off of what we were talking about right now, which is being able to sit in the discomfort and being able to be in the in-between and not control, because I tend to be someone, I come from people like you, like how you were with wanting to plan and know what's happening, and I know it's better for me, maybe better for everyone, to follow the charm, essentially, to not know what's not control and be in that discomfort. But that's what I'm learning right now is to be. This happened yesterday where I let go of something that my anxiety was pooling somewhere, and I let it go, and I did what you did, where I just like did something to make myself happy. And it's like it all rushed in. All the stuff I was worried about fixed itself. All the texts I was not receiving and sad about came in. Everything, I didn't have to follow up. It was like it was magic. And I've had so many moments of that, yet still I find myself trying to control or trying to follow up or trying. And so that's where I'm learning now, is to just remember of like, my mom always says this thing, and there's a tool in this book I wrote about journaling called this concern yourself with you. And she would always say this in school because, to me, like I would try to like fix everyone else and get in everyone else's business, and I would be the one that, like, gets in trouble for talking because I'm, like, you know. She's like, concern yourself with you. It's, like, you know. And it really is true, though. I think it's, like, that's the only thing that we can control is ourselves and how we feel about something. So that's just this lesson I apparently, since I was a kid, I've been trying to learn. So that's where I'm at now.
Oh, I love concern yourself.
It's a good one, right?
That's great.
Yeah.
I don't even remember what the tool in my book is about journaling, and there's 55 journaling tools, and one is called the concern yourself with you tool, and I have no idea what it is because I wrote that book a million years ago. But I almost want to look because
we have your book. Let's look it up. You know what? It's so interesting because it's like we, even though we evolve on our path, it's always us on the path, yeah. right? So I love this yeah. idea that you started with, let me come back home to my own energy.
Yeah.
And now where you are now is like, and also let me savor and be with that energy and enjoy being me with me
yeah.
and giving some space and time for that without needing the stimulus of something else.
Yeah. Because that's where the magic happens, you know, and I would love to talk to both of you about this more because I think it's so connected to creativity of like, you can't be creative unless you're present and you can't be present when you're trying to control things. And when you're thinking about the future or the past or what, for me, it's always like, what did I say there? I shouldn't have said that. Or was that email confusing? Or I should have waited. Or it's like, it doesn't really matter. Maybe yes, maybe no, but like, this is a situation we're in now. So try to move forward and make yourself feel the best you can right now. And that's like, I'm someone who gets so many creative, this is a question I guess I have for you guys of like, I get so many creative pangs and so many things seem charming, knowing and only have so much time, knowing which ones to follow or making choices. That's another thing that I'm on right now and trying to learn of like, well, I can only do one at a time. How do you guys handle that?
Well, it's interesting, but so yoga talks about the afflictions of the mind, and it kind of relates to this whole thing, that there's five afflictions of the mind, and anytime you're in any of them, you're not present, because the mind is always in the past or the future.
Yeah.
So the mind has nothing to do with being present, but the heart is only present. Mm. It's beat by beat. And the emotional state of a human is the madhya, which is the space between the heartbeat or the space between the breath. So that's actually where the inspired action comes in.
Yeah.
It's like there's the beat, there's the breath, and then there's the space. So it's like you have to be really present to be tuned into the subtlety of that space, but that space is where all the juice is.
Yeah.
But if we're over in the afflictions of the mind, which the first one is misperception, so not seeing life as it actually is, but seeing it through the filters of our past. Like, I've been hurt before, so now life looks like this. Life doesn't look pure anymore. So that affliction is always going to create that we can never be in the present because we're not actually seeing the present as it actually is. Then the other one is egoism, which is always seeing something or someone is better or worse than. So when you're on that scale of separation, right? So you can't make the conscious decision or you can't know what's true from that place because you're building a false story about better or worse or superior or inferior, which doesn't exist. Or you're clinging to a past pleasure that you're trying to recreate, which again is the past. You're not in the present moment because whatever pleasure was created in the past came from being in a present moment. It came unexpectedly. So trying to recreate that, like I used to have this great relationship.
I used to have that all the time.
Let me try to make it happen. What was I doing then to make that happen? It's like, but you're not there
totally.
Anymore.
I'll even go to a class and I'll be like, I'm going to do this every week at the same time. Or I'm going to do this every day. And you try to recreate and I go again. I'm like, it wasn't that great, right?
Or it's like you're like, I went to this restaurant and it was amazing, so now I'm going to go back and do the same thing. It's like, but it won't be the same
thing. I'm always doing that. I'm like buying the same shirt because I loved it. Yeah.
But you loved it because it came out of a present purity
of
surprise and unexpected and finding it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And or the other affliction of the mind is being afraid of a future that you don't want to live into, so you start preparing yourself in case that happens. So again, you're not in the present moment because you're projected into the future and then trying to prevent something, which is a retreating energy. And then the fifth is fear. Ultimately, the yogis describe it as the fear of death, but it's really the fear of life. So you keep yourself out of the present moment because you're so scared of losing the present moment
These
that you
are
never
so
step
good.
Into it, right?
They cover everything.
It covers everything.
This is everything. This
so
is my day.
If you're in any of those five states of being, then you know that you're in an affliction of the mind. It's literally like, you know, the feeling when you're healthy and then it's like, oh, I feel like I'm getting a cold today.
Yeah.
That's a mental affliction is showing up. It's like your body is giving you a signal that you've left your health, that you've left the present moment. So it's almost like you can just know, oh, if I'm projecting into the future, if I'm trying to recreate a past, if I'm in any kind of fear, if I'm doing this scale of separation, if I'm misperceiving thing and it's causing me rumination and trying to figure something out, I've totally left the present moment. So my job is like, and for me, my job is like, flower, table,
yeah.
Katie, Kristen, here I am. There's nothing. I can't figure it out. I can't know what to do. What is here for me that my mind doesn't know? And the space of my heart will start whispering to me. That space between the heartbeats will start giving little inspirations, little charms, little motivations. And all of a sudden, life starts showing up so unexpectedly that you just can't wait to be more and more and more present because you can't wait to see what's going to happen next in the movie of your own life.
Oh my God, those are so good. Podcast, everyone. I'm learning so much. Wow.
Yeah.
That covers everything.
Yoga's very deep. Like the philosophy, people think of yoga as poses, but like the philosophy behind it is so deep and it's so rich. And it's this is what Kristen and I discovered when we started working together, because Kristen had studied a lot of New Thought and like modern spirituality, and it's like we're talking about the same thing.
Yeah, I say that all the time. I might have said this to you because and this will answer the first question that you gave me, and I know you have something, don't forget what you were going to say too. I got very into self-help very young and also studied like every self-help teacher, all of the Abraham Hicks. I taught yoga all through college. I got into this very, very young and essentially learned that same thing, that like I always compare it to Mexican food. It's like it's all the same, but it comes in different forms, just like Mexican food. Like at the end of the day, some people like nachos, some people like burritos, some people like tacos, but they're getting the same nutrients. It's all like beans and cheese and corn, you know?
Yes.
And so it's like, but some people, we need all these different formats for it, because today that went right in for me. Whereas, you know, tomorrow it might be another piece of wisdom I hear from like a cab driver. Who knows? It's just we're always changing. And so I think these mechanisms for getting thought, there should be a lot of them, just like there should be, you know, a lot of choices for food, a lot of anything.
So good.
Yeah.
So rich.
I know. But it is funny that it's like, it's all kind of the same stuff, you know?
It's all the same stuff.
We just have to be present enough. We are getting it all the time.
Yeah.
Like you said, from this conversation, from a cab driver, from a conversation you overhear. It's funny that we actually ask all the time, I want clarity about this. I want to know about this. And someone will walk by and say exactly what you asked for, and you'll miss it because you're not present.
Totally.
And life is always talking to us. And I love to play the little game of the universe is talking to me through other people's mouths. So I better really listen in, because I'm getting everything that I need right now. And it's going to come through this conversation. It's going to come through the music on the radio. There's one conversation that's going on. And am I going to tune into it? Because if I drop all the way into this present moment conversation, all needs are met.
Yeah.
There's nowhere to go. There's nothing to search for. And it gets really exciting to be like, there's an energy force behind all that is. And it is talking to me all day long.
It makes you feel less alone, which is what we all want.
Right. It makes me feel like someone's communicating with me through everything. And I wanted to say, just on the, when you get so many pings of creativity that you're just going to burst, there are so many things you want to make on the planet. What I love to do, because I love to say yes to them all, is a way of just catching them and saying yes, 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 yes.
Gotcha.
And For me, I heard this one teacher talk about this dream board that he created, which where he like caught all the ideas that he was like that wanted to come through him, and he kept them all on the right side, and then he moved to the left side what was the calling right now. For me, how that shows up is like I have a way, and it's just because it's what my brain likes, of the way I have everything that I that am turned on about. And then there's a present moment of, and what am I called to do right now? And we just did this podcast a couple weeks ago on overwhelm, and it says like that overwhelm only exists in the mind, but if we tune into our heart, our heart will tell us the perfect time and place for everything. So when I ask my heart, what do you want to do today? What do you want to work on this hour? What do you want? Who do you want to communicate with? I find that everything has a way of getting done.
Mm.
That it's not about the amount of material. It's if I'm listening.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really funny because I find the fear that will come up is, if my mind isn't running it, will everything get done?
Mm-hmm.
As if the source of all doesn't already know the timing of all things.
Mm-hmm.
And have you noticed that when you do pay attention to your heart and you call out to that person that you wanted to, like, that your heart said reach out to them, they're like, I was just thinking about
totally.
You.
Totally.
Right?
Yeah.
So there's like a way of, when we're plugged into this like center of us and act from there, everything's always
yeah.
right on time.
And the opposite of that, I found, is really true, too. When I'm forcing or I'm doing something because it was on my list or I'm just, like, it's like I'm met with a brick wall.
Oh, I can feel the difference in my body every
yeah.
time.
And sometimes I think, too, we all know how awesome it feels. Like, have you ever gotten someone a gift for a holiday and you can't wait to watch them
totally.
Open it? And it's like, it feels, it's like better than you getting a present
for
because
sure.
you're so excited for this person to enjoy this thing. Sometimes I think the universe loves me so much and all of us so much that it gives me downloads for other people as well.
Mm.
So I might, my ego might want to attach and think it's all for me. But if I, like, really get still, like, I just had this opportunity come up to do a film, and I knew, even though it was a direct offer to me to play the actress in this film, I kind of knew the actress it should be, who wasn't me. And I actually got to talk to the director and say, she's the one, and you're going to love her, and you're going to fall in love with her, and she's going to be perfect for this. And I got to give it to her. And it really felt for me like it was more juicy to see her get this opportunity
wow.
because I knew it came to me so I could give it away. And it was like, I get to play Santa Claus in the universe too. It doesn't all have to be mine just because it comes to me, in the same way that sometimes my spiritual teachers
yeah.
come from the cab driver and all these other places, that sometimes the things that feel charming and exciting to me, sometimes my job is just to say it out loud. Hey, does anyone think this would be fun to do? And sometimes someone goes, oh my God, I'm dying to do that. And I'm like, here, go
it's
do
so
it.
It's so funny. I feel like I needed to hear that today because I'm having the same thing happening right now with an apartment. I'll tell you guys all the details of it later, but, or I can tell you now, it's fine. But basically, this great apartment came into my life that's, you know, with New York, it's a schlep, and timing isn't perfect for me. Everything else is perfect, but I happened to mention it to a friend, and I had a little bit like, oh, like hoarding energy.
Yeah.
And now I'm so excited that I get to give it to her, the exact same thing you're talking about.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh, that's okay. That's great. And like, I'll get to stay with her there. And this is wonderful.
Because
you know?
It's an ultimate act of faith
yeah.
to say, I'm not going to hold on because I know it's infinite.
Yes.
I know like the apartment of my dreams that is the perfect place and the perfect time and the perfect everything will come right in as soon as I make the space.
Mm-hmm.
And how great is it that in the meantime, I can give someone a present?
Yeah. And that's, I mean, I think that's really true with love and dating, which we should talk about my experiment that we'll
yes.
be doing. But that's, I think, what I was sharing with you. Like, this breakup is really my first heartbreak, my first, you know, and I think doing what we're talking about right now, like having something really great come and giving it away, that becomes easier the more you do it. Just like experiencing something hard, knowing that, oh, but then you'll find, that's what you shared with me the other night, like you'll find someone else that you have a great connection with too, and then you'll do it again, and then you'll do it again. And it's just like, when it's unknown, like I kind of feel like I'm a teenager right now where I just haven't had that many experiences, so everyone is like, you know.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what you were saying, time and age helps with that sort of thing. Like
yeah.
I just think it's kind of inevitable that you learn more, like hopefully I'll be the most self-aware and the most wise. I'll keep learning and learning until I die, you know?
Yes.
And then that's the end.
I was telling Katie, it's kind of an exciting thing after a breakup because it's like the universe is like, oh, I got something better for you. And
yeah.
every time a new partner's come into my life, I've been like, this was on the way.
Yes.
I can't believe how great
yes.
this is.
Yes.
And then you realize
it always exceeds your expectations.
Exactly.
Well, that's what I needed to hear, because I think the story, to use one of the five that my mind is doing, is like, oh, well, I'll compare everyone to him, or, you know, I can't believe that didn't work out. That was it. That was everything. That's the story in my mind. And I feel like sometimes, well, it's chicken and egg. I either need to change that story before I'm going to find someone else, or when I do,
yeah,
I'll be like, oh, okay.
I don't know if this is spiritual law or if I made this up, but here's what I feel.
Okay.
I feel like when you get into partnership with someone, the reason it feels so good is because you're energetic matches for each other. Yeah. So the energy's flowing, and all it really is when you fall in love with someone is that I've allowed myself to feel so much love inside my body, and then a big mirror shows up, and then I'm experiencing my own love, and I'm getting turned on, right? And then at some point, I stop experiencing my own love because I get distracted, or I get bored, or
I get critical,
or I start taking the other person's inventory, or I start thinking the grass is greener, or, you know, I get into workaholism or whatever, mm-hmm. and I just stop experiencing my own love, and then I kind of start feeling less alignment with them. So then over time, like, the relationship will move in, like, we're moving in the same direction, but we're moving apart.
Yeah.
Right? So what's exciting about the new person that gets to come is that I'm now in an energetically different place than I was totally. Then. So the energetic match that can be possible for me now is different and more expanded than the person that I used to be. So it's an exciting thing to say, I wonder what energy is going to come in, because I can't wait to fall in love with myself at this level of my energy.
And if you have two magical witches who are going to help you.
Oh, this is our new game. Is everyone ready to hear about our game?
Drum roll.
So, before we started rolling, Katie was telling us she writes for,
it's called The Fullest, and I get to do a monthly column with him. I'm actually really excited about it. I've been doing it for almost a year now, but it's called Pivot, which is funny because we were just talking about that. And it's about pivotal moments and pivotal times and coming of age in our 20s. And I talk to a lot of women, and I want to have you guys, I do Pivot People every so often. So people who are on the other side of 30 who have made it through the tumultuous 20s.
How funny that I just handed you my book about my pivots in my 30s.
I know. I know. So anyway, it's like one of my favorite things I do. And I just pitched this new column idea for my next column to my editor, which I'm calling it. I love all of the early 2000s and 90s rom-coms, and so How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days is up there. I've seen it upwards of a million times, and I was bouncing this idea off of them before we started recording, of I want to do How to Meet a Guy in 10 Days, and then drama ensued.
And then we got so excited
started wagging our tails.
Yes. We're like, manifesting love. Well, let's talk about this tool and this tool and this tool. Like, our little witchy tails started moving so fast. So we're going to work with Katie, and we're going to do manifesting love for 10 days. So 10 different tools.
We got to get on the calendar before we
go. Oh, yeah. We're going to have the best time.
Oh, I'm so excited.
We're going to be bathed in hot, sweaty love.
Oh, my God.
Just get ready.
We're going to do a series of this on my podcast.
Yes.
I'm so excited.
It's going to be amazing.
It's so funny. When I was a kid, I would have these fantasies. All I wanted, I think it goes back to watching a lot of rom-coms. All I wanted was older sisters and makeovers.
That's all we actually do.
Oh my God, that's all I wanted was to be with cool, beautiful women who were a slightly older than me, and have them take me under their wing. Cause I think, again, cause I'm an only child and I was never really around people. And all my friends as kids had older sisters. I think I told you this. And so I just really was well, I'm not cool cause I don't have an older sister. And all I wanted was the makeover and
Look how you manifested us.
Right?
Until you see how much we love to shop and get our makeup done and get our hair done. That's basically what Natalie and I do together. And then we talk about our love life and spirituality.
But it's a soul makeover.
Oh, beyond.
Oh,
soul beyond. Over.
Soul over.
Wait, Kristen and I have been having
this. But makeup too. Let's be clear. And hair.
We've been having this experience lately where we love to compliment each other. We're loving wearing glitter and bright colors these days. And we're loving to, like, we're always out at these, like, really fancy events lately.
Oh, we've been going to so many fancy parties. So,
like, the right. fanciest. Like, we get invited A-list, to the coolest, funnest
red carpet.
Things.
Oh, my God.
And all we do is we stay for, like, one glass of wine. We mingle as long as we need to. And then we leave and come here and have a bottle of wine together and girl talk.
That's the best.
We, like, cannot wait to, like, get alone with each other.
Can I? When are we going?
Come on.
The next one.
So it's like,
you've already taken me to, like, two of those.
All we do is go to fancy parties and bail. So
the
we have girlfriend time.
Yes.
But when you're, it was what you were saying earlier about, like, when the friendships and the soul talk mm-hmm. and the girl time is so deep, it's like, what is better than that?
What
There's nothing in
that?
Life that's going to
yeah.
top it.
Now, speak about following the charm and girlfriend time. I cannot wait to end this podcast so that we can go have a little girlfriend time.
Right.
But I feel like before we do, you should say about what you are launching.
Yeah.
You're launching something super cool.
Yeah, I'm very excited about it. So essentially, I've been doing the podcast for 7 years,
wow.
which is so long, longer than I've done anything. And I what I've seen as the theme of the podcast is, like yours, it's organic, long-form conversation, and people end up sharing intimate things sometimes, most of the time, and we're calling them soft stories, so letting out soft stories. And I think that soft stories connect us, bind us, make us feel less alone. When you shared something that was hard and you shared something that was hard that you went through, it makes me feel closer to you, and, like, I'm more likely to be able to share something like that with you. So I'm essentially doing what I do on the podcast, but in more mediums. So it's a new website. It's a magazine, essentially. We're going to be doing soft storytelling events and printing zines and writing personal essays about letting out this concept of soft stories, which I think right now it's about empathy. And it's like what I was telling you about this breakup and going through hard things, I think makes us more empathetic, and it makes us ultimately a better person, like you were saying, and that helps you to attract the next person you're going to be with, because I think it makes you a kinder, more present human being when you feel pain, you know, because you're, like, present with that, and then you can move forward from that.
Mm.
So anyway, so that's the concept of soft stories, and so it's just essentially a new website that I'm really excited about.
It's so exciting.
Called Let It Out with 3 T's.
So if our listeners wanted to find you, find your podcast, find out more about what you're doing.
Yeah.
If they wanted to have a date with you.
Oh, yeah.
Men listening on the podcast. Where would they go?
This is making your guys' job easy. Well, I'm just a Google away. I'll give you my number if you want to date me, I guess. I won't give that on the podcast. That'll need to be vetted by my older sisters
mm-hmm.
privately, but
we
sure.
We will be vetting all potential
audiences.
Please send your headshot.
We're very good at this.
Great, casting.
I will never have as much fun as if we're really, like, going through her, like...
Oh my God, I'm so excited. I've never felt more cozy in my life than right now. I feel like I'm, like, in the fold.
You're in it, and you don't know how deep it goes.
I'm so excited. I'm a Google away, and I'm starting a second podcast. Did I tell you that?
No.
Yeah, it's called Spiral. It comes out I don't know when this will be out, but maybe it'll already be out. It's co-hosted with my friend Serena Wolf. It's about anxiety, 8 episodes.
Wow.
What's it called again?
Spiraling.
Spiraling.
Yeah.
Oh, I cannot wait to listen to that podcast.
Yeah, it would call it a humorous anxiety podcast.
That's
brilliant.
Great.
Yeah.
And then on the Insta, you are?
I'm at Katie Dilla, just my name. And then we have a Let It Out Instagram account, because ultimately I want Let It Out to be a podcasting network. So I help other people start podcasts with something called Let a Podcast Out. And so I'm starting this podcast with Serena, and I'll be starting another one that's actually going to be about, I haven't said this out loud yet, but it's about female friendship coming out in the new year.
Yay.
So it's like a lot of podcasts will be made in the realm of Let It Out, anything that's a soft story.
Amazing.
Yeah. On the tip of soft stories, I also have a desire that for anyone who's going through heartbreak right now, since that is something that has been a big topic this year for you, as
yes.
emerging from heartbreak, is there something that you could offer to our listeners that's been, like, whether it's been a tool or some advice or just a practical life thing that
occurred
that has been helpful in your healing?
Yes. Oh, this last season of my podcast, people should, if they've gone through a breakup, like, you might want to listen, because I've just been... There's such a window into wherever I'm at, these episodes of my podcast, you can tell going back 7 years, and the window I was in was this heartbreak. So it's very indicative of that. But the biggest thing I got was like you, we've kind of already addressed this here, but it's when you are going through something hard, it forces you to change in a way that can be uncomfortable, but ultimately is kind of like breaking out of a shell or a metamorphosis. And so Mari Andrews said this thing on my podcast, and you guys probably follow her. She's an illustrator. And she said that this time has so much richness that she was like, I find myself between heartbreaks kind of like, oh, when will I be heartbroken again? Or because if I'm not, how will I learn Portuguese? Or how will I, it's every time she goes through it, it's this unfolding of like, she comes out the other side having learned something. So when I just switch that in my brain of like, instead of this being a bad thing, and I'm a human being, like sometimes I feel sad, but if I can switch it in my brain of like, your highs are higher and your lows are lower because you're in this hyper emotional state. So just know that. And then, you know, someone buying you a cup of coffee feels like you won the lottery, but also someone not texting you back is going to be like more intense. So like, be a little bit more loving to yourself because of that, you know?
That's so beautiful. Compassion.
Yeah.
Self-compassion.
We're all doing such a great job.
I know.
It's an amazing adventure to be a human.
Honestly, I would say to people, if you're going through heartbreak, try to be around you too. Because I'm feeling, I was like having a weird morning, but like now I feel great and like I can like take on the world.
It's true. It has that effect. Communities.
Yeah, you guys are really magical. Oh yeah, we love him.
Oh, we love him.
We love them all.
Oh, there's so many to love. Speaking of, we love you.
I love you so much. Thank you so much for having me.
This is such a treat.
It really is.
You're a gift.
You're a gift. I don't want to leave this chair.
You never have to leave. You can live here. I mean, I'm going to Paris, but you can stay and hang out.
Very comfortable chairs.
Yes, they're not bad, right?
No, they're great.
Yeah.
All right, ladies.
All the joy. Thank you, listeners. Thank you for checking us out. Thank you for checking Katie out. We hope you go and stalk her and find out how beautiful she truly is and all the amazing things that she has going on in the planet. If you want more of us, you can go to thecreateseries.com. You never know. We might keep our summer sale up for you in case you want to, you know, have a few little items that we made in your earbuds and on your computer screens.
And guess what, Natalie? By the time this hits their ears, we're going to be in Paris.
I will have had sex.
And I might have too.
And maybe me too if you guys do your job well.
Thank you so much for listening. We love to feel like we have friends all over the world in you who are committed to doing their dream on the planet.
Like this podcast and you want to find out more about what we're doing or who we are, our pop-up classes, our online classes, you can check all of that out at thecreateseries.com.
And if you want to be part of our Facebook community, you can go to the Create Community page. That's C.R.E.A.T.E.Community.
And if you loved this podcast, why not share it with a friend?